Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come before your presence today, Lord, because you are a God of wonder, a God of miracles, a God of love. And you have brought each and every one of us here as your word says you have sown cords of love through each one of our hearts, Lord. And with loving kindness you have drawn us, Lord Jesus, drawn us into a better world, a kingdom of heaven, Lord, where no rust or no mold will ever come in to corrode anything, Lord. And we just ask you to do that same work within our hearts, Lord. Take our old and rusty hearts and renew them in strength, Lord. And give us a faith like we've never had before. And teach us today as we go through and discover what it is and how we can actually be effective evangelists for you, Lord. We thank you for this, Father. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Okay. Who can remember what we talked about last night? Right, I'm looking for audience participation here today. Can anyone remember what was the core subject that we spoke about last night? I heard the faith word. Yes, faith. That's correct. And this whole faith principle that we talked about last night, you will discover today as we go through and we have a look how to become effective evangelists, how if you apply this principle, your whole Christian experience will be turned upside down. And you'll discover that you will be able to not only go out and witness to people, but you will be able to do it with power. You will be able to plan programs, organize events. And doesn't matter how much money you have, you may have 0% in your bank accounts. Doesn't matter what, God will make sure that event happens. But before we go too much into that, we're going to have a look at a few principles that Scripture teaches us. What does the Bible tell us about what we are supposed to do in these last days? How we are supposed to be witnesses for God Almighty? Ellen White says, "The battles waging between the two armies are as real as those fought by the armies of this world. And on the issue of the spiritual conflict, eternal destinies depend. A terrible conflict is before us. We are nearing the battle of the great day of God Almighty. That which has been held in control is to be let loose. The angel of mercy is folding her wings, preparing to step down from the throne and leave the world to the control of Satan. The principalities and powers of earth are in bitter revolt against the God of heaven. They are filled with hatred against those who serve him. And soon, very soon, the last great battle between good and evil. The earth is to be the battlefield, the scene of the final contest and the final victory. Here, where for so long Satan has led men against God, rebellion is to be forever suppressed. Won't that be a glorious day when there is no more rebellion, no more death, no more pain, no more suffering?" But as we can see from this quote, if our eyes could be open to the spiritual battles that go on, we would see much like the modern warfares of today. We would see angels battling with swords, mightily fighting against each other. We would see plans and strategies going forth of ways to overthrow God's kingdom. We would see the angels on high in battalions coming down from heaven to protect the saints as they walk forward to serve the Lord. We would see so many things that if God did open our eyes to see those things, we would probably be petrified and wouldn't move. But just like in the spirit of prophecy, it says that it is like modern warfare. We have to, in some sense, understand the process of modern warfare and how things are played out. When you go into the military or when you go to do service, there are many different roles within the army, within the navy, within the air force. There's plenty of different roles and everyone is under a certain rank. You have everything from snipers to infantry, to majors, to colonials, to captains, to the Secret Service, to Special Intelligence. you have so many different categories. But out of all the different categories within the military, there is one group, one special unit, which is prized and reserved for only the most elite missions. Do you know who I could be talking about? It's the SAS. The Special Forces. These are the people in the military which are completely reserved for tactical rescues, for bringing out hostages out of situations where the circumstances seem absolutely impossible to penetrate. Their role is to basically rescue people in high-risk situations or do tactical missions in places where most of the other normal personnel would not survive. Now, the thing with the SAS is it takes very high intensive training for them to prepare themselves to be ready. If you want to be in special forces and you want to be in the air unit that they operate in, you have to be able to jump out of a plane, open your chute at 2,000 feet, and survive the drop while holding your weapons and your comms between your legs and with another hand getting ready to fire on the enemy. These people go through so much rigorous training to prepare themselves to be able to fight against the forces of darkness on enemy lines. Now I wonder, is it any different for us? Does God have an elite task force in His church specifically designed to cross over into enemy territory and rescue hostages? We're going to have a look at a few stories because the Bible does say that. God does have a special task force. So we're going to have a look at a bit of scripture before we go on and just understand a few vital principles. If I could, everyone have their Bibles ready? Because I will have you to turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants, and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them another 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged it in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there hast thou that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto them which have 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now tell me, in this story in the Bible that Christ was speaking, what is the whole purpose of this story? Why has he given us a story about the talents? Is anyone here in banking? No? Well, generally, if you are someone that's good with money, you'll take your money to the banks, and if you have a savings account, you won't just put it in any normal account. You'll put it in like a saver account, and a saver account where it earns interest. Now, if we take the story of the 10 talents and we study it, we learn that this whole story is a reflection to God's last day church and how we are to use our talents as God's people. When you look at Scripture, God has given his people one main purpose on this planet. That is to win souls for his kingdom. And if we do not win souls for his kingdom in some way, shape, or form, if we, just like in the story of the talents, if on the day of God's coming, the gentleman next to us goes, "Lord, I didn't really have much talents. I didn't have a lot in life. But the one talent that I did have, I talked to some gentleman on the bus once before, and he became a Christian, and that's all I brought." What do you think Jesus is going to say? He's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You only had a little bit, you didn't have a lot of talent. But because you brought just one other, you multiplied what I gave you to do. Once, I will make you ruler of great things." And then say the evangelist comes up and he's won thousands of souls for Christ. Will his reward be any greater? Or will God once again say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in many things. I will make you a ruler of many things." So, in God's kingdom of heaven, there is no hierarchy as in Satan's kingdom. And one of the biggest problems of today is you look out into the world and you see everything that Satan has created in this world is about self. It's about I, iPhones, iPod, I this, I that, you name it. It's all about self. In God's kingdom, there is no hierarchy. If you save one soul for God's kingdom, if you save 10, if you save 1,000,000, you will be ruler over many things. And that's a beautiful promise. But, on the contrary, if you come to God in the day of judgment and you say, "Lord, I spent my life here enjoying myself, having fun. Lord, I'm here. I was faithful to you. I didn't save any souls in my entire life, or I did not play any part in saving a soul. But I'm here, Lord." What is the Lord going to say? I'm going to leave that to you to think about. What does God want us to do? What is the very purpose of our life here on planet Earth? Is it for ourselves, or is it to serve God? Well, let us let the Bible direct our path in giving us an answer for that. Go to Matthew 28:18-20. And it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." What is God's great commission? The very moment before Christ's feet rose off the ground to go into the heavenly place, what is the great commission he gave to you, to everyone? Go and preach the gospel. That is our last mission. And we are not just alone in this battle. God has given us weapons. Just like a modern SAS unit would have to have weapons, would have to have backup. God has provided all of those. And who did he provide those through? His Son, Jesus Christ. We have been all chosen to be God's watchmen, God's special SAS force. So what does it exactly mean to be a watchman for Christ? Turn to Ezekiel 3:17-21. And it says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, also thou hast delivered thy soul. What is God's great purpose for us here on planet Earth? It is to be watchmen on the walls of Zion, to reach out into our communities and bring souls into God's kingdom. We have been chosen to be God's special SAS elite force, to reach souls that are in the enemy's camp, in that hostile camp that Satan has set up, that delusion over their minds. God has made us watchmen to deliver these people from the power of death. And if we are faithful, you will find as you go through life, every single person that isn't a Christian that crosses your path, God has predestined that person to cross your path. And some people, according to what Ellen White says, will only have one opportunity at life. I don't know why, I'm not going to go into that. But some people, you may knock on their door and they may need someone to give them a message of hope right at that time. But some people will only get one opportunity. As Ellen White says, one door that gets knocked on, that may be their only chance of hope. And if we are not faithful servants, how can that hope reach them? How can the hope of Jesus Christ and a better life away from all this sin and destruction reach them? That's why God asks us to be faithful watchmen, to reach people that otherwise are sentenced to death. And that's the thing, we are not alone. We need to step forward in faith. What has God given us? He's given us faith. He's given us his word. He's given us Jesus Christ. And he's given us prayer. With those things, you can march into the enemy's territory. And I've done this many times before. Doesn't matter what Satanist, what wickedest person you go visit. Doesn't matter what, God gives you permission and gives you the weapons to walk boldly into those camps. One time, me and my friends, we were invited to a Kabbalist church, which is, I won't go too much into it, but it's just in the hierarchy, it's the Jewish occult. And we were invited to go to this thing, and we didn't go there blindly. We went there because we were giving Bible studies to this lady. And we just went, well, because we're giving her studies, maybe if we go, she won't go, oh, you're shunning my religion, but you want to give us yours, kind of thing. So we decided to go prayerfully. And we went there, and they started doing some of their rituals, which we didn't know what to expect. And we got there, and we started to pray. And we were just like, Lord, we really didn't know that it was going to be this full on, but Lord, please help us and deliver us. And as one of the ladies there started doing her chants or her incantations, as we started to pray, she stopped, and she couldn't speak anymore. God held her voice. to stop doing whatever hocus pocus she was doing. But the thing is, we don't have to fear when we reach people. We don't have to fear when we go to visit people or to witness to them. Because if we're bold enough and brave enough to do it, God will work in a powerful way. Ellen White goes on to say in Acts of the Apostles, "Wickedness is reaching a height never before attained, and yet many ministers of the gospel are crying, 'Peace and safety.' But God's faithful messengers are to go steadily forward with their work, clothed with the panoply of heaven. They are to advance fearlessly and victoriously, never ceasing their warfare until every soul within their reach shall have received the message of truth. For this time, God has given us a message of hope to bring to the world. Doesn't matter what anyone else says, God has asked us personally to go and win souls for his kingdom." She goes on to say, "There will be no one saved in heaven with a starless crown. If you enter, there will be some soul in the courts of glory that has found an entrance there through your instrumentality." A powerful quote. God is telling us that unless we have brought or played a part in bringing a soul to Christ, there is no heaven. Now that's a really sobering thought. A really sobering thought. And that does not mean that you have to be an evangelist. It does not mean that you have to be a Bible worker, a full-time missionary. But it means that person at the bus stop, that person in your university class, that person you sit next to at school that does not know Jesus. If you spend your whole life avoiding witnessing to whoever that person is, it may come to the point that Jesus will come and that you will realize, man, I have not played a part in winning one soul for Christ. It's a sobering thought. And remember, even though we are completely saved by the grace of God in the merits of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, faith without works is dead. The grace and the merits of Christ give us free entry into heaven. But unless we then diligently seek the Lord in his word and in prayer, we may fall short of making that kingdom. In conclusion, Acts of the Apostles says, if those who today are teaching the word of God would uplift the cross of Christ higher and still higher, their ministry would be far more successful. If sinners can be led to give one earnest look at the cross, if they can obtain a full view of the crucified Savior, they will realize the depths of God's compassion and the sinfulness of sin. When we bring the gospel message to anyone in the world, look to Christ. Uplift him, and that will be the key card that will bring people into the church. When it comes down to it, if Jesus wanted to, he could literally flick his fingers and we would see 10 Hillsong churches running down the road, pouring into our pews, wanting to know the truth. God could do that. Each and every single one of us have been called to be God's special SAS forces, his watchmen, to give warning to the world, to tell them that very soon, we will be looking up and we will see a cloud the size of a man's fist coming closer and closer, glowing brighter and more glorious by the very minutes. Until right there and then we see Jesus and the whole heavenly host of angels before us, ready to take us home. Will you be ready? Will you have a friend here on earth that hasn't known Christ, which now you behold in your hand, knowing that they're coming up to heaven with you, and that they will be one of the stars that God places on your crown? We have been called. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and God has called us to bring people into his kingdom, to reach those who are lost, And my friends, there are so many people out there that are struggling. Prostitutes, people in their cult, people who have just had messed up lives, who have been hurt, who have been raped, who have been abused, who have been the worst things under the sun has happened to them, and they are just sitting at home in absolute despair, waiting, hoping that somehow someone will come and bring them the message of Christ. So my challenge today, before we go any further, look to Jesus and live. Bring people to Jesus and live. John 3:16 says, "And God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Sometimes we should just stop, "For God so loved the world." How much did he love the world? So loved the world that he was willing to take his only Son and let him die for you and me. How much more does God want us to love other people? Other people out there. Let this mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus. God wants to reveal his character in us. He wants us to love everyone else out there just the same amount as he loved us. That he sent his own Son to die the most horrific death for us. So in whatever calling God gives you to be evangelists for him, I don't want you to stand back and go, "But Lord, I can't do it. There's absolutely no way I can do it because I'm unworthy. I don't have the talents to do this." Just look to Christ and be bold. Step forward in faith. All those Tories I told you last night, when I went down to Sydney to become a Bible worker, I didn't get any training. It was basically, "Here's your area, go door knock." Eventually we got training, but because the college was so new, we just got thrown in the deep end. God taught us because we were bold enough to stand out in faith. And I challenge everyone here, if you're bold enough to stand out in faith, the glory of Jesus will pierce the heart of the person you're witnessing to. And you will see miracles like you could never imagine. So my calling to everyone here today, don't have a starless crown.